to discuss about temperance. Look at the second thing that he spoke of with Felix, along with the gospel. He said here in verse number 25, and as a reason of righteousness, temperance. Today, where that's what we're going to discuss. The word temperance appears four times in three different verses in your King James Bible. Another word to also study when you guys are studying your Bibles, and if I ever give you suggestions, normally I try my best to, but I know some of you guys don't have a Bible study software program or anything like that. I'd be more than happy to help you to get one, but it's always good to study the suffix of a word. Now, I don't mean to go back to English back in high school, but what is the suffix? Anybody out there for free prayer? Remember y'all? Anybody out there? It's the first half of the word, right? And then the suffix is the last half of the word. So here we have temp or temper, right? And it's always good to study that because it'll help you to understand what a word means even fuller. And so tonight I'm going to show you that. As you guys know, I try my best to do that. The word tempered, we're going to talk about how that all has to deal with this understanding of what temperance means. Also temper and temperate, temperate. The word tempered in the past tense appears three times in three verses in the King James Bible. The word temper only appears one time. And then finally, the word temperate appears three times in three verses in the King James Bible. That word temper, the basis meaning of it means to mix or moderate. We're going to go back to that word moderate in a little bit. But allow me to show you now on the screen the definition, because I know some of y'all like to see that, and I want to show you the method of which how your pastor studies to prepare his sermons. So I usually use the 1828 dictionary other than other great ones back there. But whenever you guys are studying this here, it's going to give you the base definition, right? So look here from the Latin tempero, which means to mix or moderate. You see there? The base idea of that word is to mix so that one part qualifies the other to bring to a moderate state, as to temper justice with mercy. They may be giving you example. Number two, to compound, to form by mixture, to qualify as by an ingredient, or in general, to mix. So some of you guys like to bake. What are you doing? You are tempering your perhaps your dough because you're putting other ingredients, right? You're getting it ready for that. Number three, to unite in due proportion, to render symmetrical, to adjust. Number four, to accommodate, to modify. Number five, to soften, to mollify, to assuage, to soothe, to calm, to reduce any violence or excess. Do you guys see how one word can have multiple meanings? To govern, et cetera, et cetera. And then again, as a noun, it kind of has some very similar definitions. Look at number four, or number three, calmness of mind, moderation. Heat of mind or passion. How many of you guys know what another temper is, right? Oh, that child has a temper. Or man, that guy has a short temper. You guys know about that. Irritation. Some of you guys know about that. The state of a metal, particularly as its hardness, a temper of iron, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just kind of walking you guys through so you guys can see that one word, it has, you guys can unlock the meaning of a Bible passage if you just do a little bit of more study concerning that word in your English tongue and how that has to deal with the other word and how it's used in other forms. And in this particular case, we're talking about temperance. So now you guys can see the base of it, to moderate, to modify. Let's go to the word temperate now so you guys can see the other the definition here of our next word, temperate. So now you guys can see it uses that same base form, moderate. Not excessive as temperate heat or temperate climate or temperate air. We're going to keep an eye on this word, not excessive, because a lot of the other definitions are going to have an important part in helping us understand later on when God uses that word for a reason. Number one, moderate in the indulgence of the appetites and passions. Some of you guys have an awesome self-discipline of not overeating, and I commend you for that, okay? Brother Carlos, when I get that papa and carne, man, I go ham on that stuff. Some of you are like, no, I'm more temperate. And so I'm going to show you later on that's actually a good thing. Some of you guys are doing that. We'll talk about some other passages in the Bible. But yes, being temperate means to moderate. In other words, you are limiting, you are controlling, right? You are tempering your body as it pertains to the things it wants. For example, eating and drinking, temperate in pleasures, temperate in speech. Number two, cool, calm, marked with passion, not violent, as a temperate discourse. Number three, proceeding from temperance, as temperate sleep. Or number four, freedom from ardent passion. So now you guys can see two different words. The base form means to moderate. There's going to be something that has to do with comparing other, acquiring different elements and temper to form something, to make it moldable to a thing. And then the word temperate means to moderate. In other words, to control all the things inside of one for it to be moderate. And in this case, it could have to deal with your appetites. It could deal with your emotions. So now you guys get the understanding. Well, why was that important for Felix to understand? Well, because he may have had a lifestyle that was not temperate. He may have had a lifestyle that was not controlled by God. He may have had a lifestyle that was excessive in drinking. He may have had a lifestyle that was excessive in relationships with women. He may have had a lifestyle excessive usage in various things. And guys, whenever we point out to people in the world their need for Jesus Christ, we are confronting them with the Bible truth that here is God, he's righteous, you're not. Well, why am I not as good as God? Because, and then God gives us a list of his commandments or a list of his attributes. And whenever we show the sinner, like somebody showed us, because we're sinners, here's how good he is, how holy he is. And look, you came short because you didn't control your eyes when you looked at porn. You didn't control your body when you fornicated. You didn't control your body when you wanted to drink and you got drunk and then etc. So what we're doing is we're showing them, look, here's what God says, here's what you did, and this is why you need Jesus Christ. You guys understand that? So Felix, here's what we need to reason with you about righteousness. You are not good on your own. You have no authority or own power, regardless of what the Roman government has given you. You're not going to make it to heaven just because you have a lot down here. Number two, Felix, you got a problem. There is something called temperance, and here's what God says about that. And tonight, we're going to further elaborate on that. But before we go back to Felix, let's read a little bit of some New Testament to help us understand why that's important for us today, especially as Christians, because before we close today, we're going to discuss some of these things to make it more applicable to our situation today. Turn with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And as we get there, now we're going to let the Bible further clarify a word that it uses, and there's nothing wrong with dictionaries. But what I like about the Bible is that it defines itself if you leave it alone. And all you do is you study words, you look at other verses where the word is used, and sometimes God will put other words to help you understand what that word means. Isn't that awesome? Let's look together here now in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's learn some key lessons here. Let's start together in verse number 24. But before we read, let me ask you guys a quick question. How many of you guys have ever participated in sports in high school? Anybody raise your hand? Okay. Some of you guys used to run track, amen. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever have to train or prepare before a race? Okay. Did you ever have to watch out what you ate, perhaps, before you race? Anybody out there? Did you just down some alcohol and then you went out there? No. You were temperate. You controlled your body because you got it ready for something. Look at how God makes it so simple for us to understand. Watch this. Verse 24. He says here, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" Only one guy is going to get the first place. Only one girl is going to get the first place. But they're all running. He says here, "So run that ye may obtain." You know what he said there? You, Christian, we're all running in the race together. But we're not all going to be rewarded together. But what you need to do is you need to keep running. We're not all going to get the same reward. It depends upon how you're running. We'll talk about that. Now look at verse 25. "Every man that striveth for the mastery is what? Temperate in all things." We'll get to that in a little bit. "Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." What did he say? You know the track star back in high school? You know the boxer? You know the baseball player? You know all those people of the sports of this world? They can control their body, but they're going to earn a reward that is corruptible. All the trophies that they put on their furniture, they ain't going to take it with them when they die. But you know what God said about you as a Christian? You can run in this race in the faith and Christianity. You can train yourself. You can control yourself to earn something that will not be corruptible. As a matter of fact, you can earn a reward that is incorruptible. The question is, are you running? Are you taking care of your body? Are you making sure that it's in submission? Now, let's keep reading. He says here, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." In other words, he knows what he's doing. "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but," here it is now, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So what is temperate? It is keeping your body under control. When the body wants to do this, I'm going to keep it under control. When the lust of the eyes are beginning to run away after that woman who looks good, after the man who looks good, after the drug over here, the alcohol over here, the imagery that you see around the world, a temperate Christian will get a hold of their body and say, not today. I am not going to let you give into this thing. I'm going to have control over you. Now, do we all do that 100% of the time? No, we don't. Do we all fall short with the eyes and the thoughts and the lust? Oh, yes, we do. But what is the point? We need to continue to train our own lives just like somebody who's competing for something. We need to continue to train ourselves spiritually. And the way that we're going to be able to do that is with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you in a couple of verses. But not only with the help of the Holy Spirit, but ultimately with just your obedience to God. We're going to talk about that tonight. Here's a side nugget concerning the mastery. When he uses that term there in verse number 25, how they're striving for the mastery. They're striving for first place. They're striving for the superiority and the competition. That guy who's running the track and that girl, man, they are training hours and hours. They're swimming. They're working out at the gym. They're practicing their baseball swings, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They're doing that because they want to get the top place. So those who seek such, God said, those individuals, they are temperate in all things. You know what's crazy? Even non-Christians can get a hold of their bodies. What about Christians? Wow, that's pretty unique, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let's go there quickly. 1 Corinthians 12. Here's another side nugget concerning tempered. And this is something cool, again, like we were discussing earlier about learning different Bible words to help you understand another word with a fuller definition. Look at here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 18. Bible says here, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. You got how many fingers? 10. 10 fingers, 10 toes. You got ears. He made you because it pleased him to make this body the way it looks. Isn't that cool? Okay. Now, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So yes, sister, you need that little pinky toe. Amen. You need that little cochlea in there. You need the little earlobe. You need all the things that make up your body. That's what the Lord said. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now watch how he's going to take that explanation concerning what you think about your body to how you think about your fellow church members. Some of us may look at each other like they're not as important. Some of us may think ourselves as not as important as perhaps the pastor. No, not so. You know what the Lord says here? Every single one of you guys are important. Every single one of you guys play an important role to what? The body. We should not esteem you less. As a matter of fact, for the brother who's quiet over here, or the sister who's quiet, as a matter of fact, we really, really need you even more. That's what it says, verse 23. We need to bestow more abundant honor upon you. Now look at verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath what? Tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should what? Have the same care one for another. So you know what God did? He got all of these ingredients, right? That's the tempering definition we talked about. And he molded it, he shaped it, he fitted it all together just as it pleased him. So that way it doesn't function without it. There's a way that the body is supposed to function. There's a way that the body is supposed to be controlled. There's a way that the body is supposed to grow and to be healthy. And that's how God did it. But now, as individuals, as members of one another, if we're not being temperate within our spiritual lives, when we come together and we're connected for the whole, we can't expect for all of us as a whole when we're together to be as healthy as we can be if one of you is not being as healthy as you should be. So let's keep talking about that. Let me give you a side nugget here. Paul is arguing in favor of the unity of the church and of cooperation on the part of individual members. And he uses an illustration of the human body, which consists of various organs with various functions. It is God, arguing the apostle, who has tempered, that is, he compounded and he blended the body together. Each member has its place and function and must contribute to the welfare of the whole. That's from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. But before we move on, talking about spiritual application of our own temperate lifestyle, how can we as Christians gain victory over this flesh when it wants to do what it wants to do? I've been asked that many, many times. Brother Carlos, how do I get over this sin that I'm battling with? Whether it's pornography, whether it's drinking alcohol, whether it's doing drugs, and perhaps it may be an emotional pride. It may not even have to be nothing physical. It could just be pride. It could just be being impatient. It could just be murmuring, whatever the case might be. I want to give you now the Bible answer to your question, so that way your source of strength comes not from Brother Carlos, even though I can assist you. It's going to come from God. Let's go now to Galatians chapter 5. I remember Brother Manny always talking about these fruit of the Spirit. It's one of his favorite, and it sure was encouraging always to hear him. I had a great conversation with him today. And now let's go back there, like the good old days here, to Galatians chapter number 5, talking about the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Here, we're going to see now the Bible express the byproduct, the outworking of genuine salvation in the lives of genuine born-again Christians. What does that mean? If you really are born again and saved, there should be something coming from your life. There should be something transforming in your life that begins to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. One of those fruit is temperance, self-control. So let's read now. Verse number 16, I'm gonna answer you now the question of how do I get a hold of it now, okay? Verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Pretty easy, right? You didn't need to go to AA, for example. Y'all didn't need to buy chicken soup for the soul or Google how to stop. Actually, God just gave it to you right there, Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit. But Brother Carlos, how do I walk in the Spirit? What does that look like? What does that mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, as we continue to show you from the Bible, I just want to remind you that you have the ability to do it. If you're saved, you're in the Spirit. Now that you're in the Spirit, you have the opportunity to walk in the Spirit, because when you do, that is going to be the victory that you're going to have over the flesh. And when we talk about the controlling of the flesh, which is having a temperate lifestyle, he is the one who's going to give you the ability. But you first have to walk in the Spirit. Read verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. Notice, deep down in your life, there's a battle. There's a part of you that wants to do good. There's a part of you that wants to do evil. There's a part of you that has lust, boy, and you give in to them every so often. There's a part of you that knows, wow, I should not have thought that thought. I should not have given into that action. I should not have communicated like that out of my speech, maybe my actions. What is going on within my mind, within my heart, within my body? Well, you have a flesh, and that flesh has a thing called the body of sin. And that body of sin in you is connected to your old nature before you became a Christian. That thing is constantly fighting against the Holy Spirit's presence within your life, the new man in you as well. And they are at odds every single moment that you're awake, cognitively conscious right now. They are at odds right now, so that the one side cannot let you do what the other side wants you to do. They're at a battle. The question is, how can I get victory for the right cause, and how can I continue to mature out of the old cause? I'm going to show you. But God said in verse number 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So in verse 16, he told us to walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, he says, if you be led in the Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. In other words, they're obvious. Adultery, that's sin. That's bad. Fornication, that's sin. That's bad. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, pretty bad. Witchcraft, and then notice, aside from all the physical, right, things that people are physically acting out from the heart, hatred. That's a work of the flesh. That's sin. Hating people. Variance. You're just at odds with people. You can't get along with people. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. It's, you see, it's not just the physical act of a sin that God says that's a work of your flesh, but it's also the thought. It's also the emotional state. All these can be controlled. That's what your God told you. But let's continue to learn how. He says envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember how we talked about the race? If we don't get a hold of these things within our life, we are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Those rewards on judgment day, at the judgment seat of Christ, we are judged by Jesus Christ, and we continue to have hatred against fellow believers, emulations against fellow believers, strife against fellow believers, fornication, drunkenness, all that stuff, that is going to hinder your reward. And as a matter of fact, on this race, you're walking, even though you think you're running. And that's why we're learning now, temperate. What do you say? I need to keep this body in subjection. Well, I need help. Yes, God knows that. And so he's going to help us to continue to do that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. Long suffering. That's patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And look at this, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, they that are Christ's. So if you've been born again, you belong to Christ. And by virtue of belonging to him, you are born again. You are in the Spirit. The Bible says they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So you have power over it. You're just not exercising the power you got. And the reason why you're not exercising the power you got, because you don't want to. Point blank. I'm going to show you why I'm saying what I'm saying now, because rather than excusing yourself with, well, I didn't know, brother, or perhaps I didn't have enough knowledge. No, you know. And I'm going to show you how you can have the victory before we close. Last one here, verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So you can. You can have victory, brother and sister. You can have this body in control, but you have to walk. You got to be led. And you have to live. You see, there are those three things. Walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, and you have to live in the Spirit. Well, how do I do that? Before we close, I want to just direct your attention to the screen, because as you guys know, Brother Carlos, I'm just going to go through these quickly to show you how you can do that. First one, Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So you have them in here. They're in there. All those things are in you. They're in me. Remember, we talked about that last Sunday. The heart is deceitful. They're all in there, okay? Yours are not going to be like mine. Mine are not going to be like yours, but that body of sin, man, it is in here. So what do we do? I need to yield my body to God. And when I yield my body to God, what is that? I am submitting myself to him inwardly. He will help me to then walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, and to be living in the Spirit, so that way I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The first thing you need to do, brother, is you need to yield. All right, sister? Chapter 13, Romans 13, verse number 12 through 14. Another thing that you can do to help you. The Bible says here, verse number 13, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What's the next thing you need to do? You need to put Christ on. Well, how do I do that, brother? Again, yield yourself to God with your whole heart. Say, Lord, here's what my body wants to do, God. You already know what's in me, Lord. I want you to be put on me this morning, so that way I don't make this flesh available for what it wants to do, because your Bible told me in Galatians 5, it's crucified with you, Lord. I know I can have victory over it. I know I can have power of it, but I'm going to submit to you right now, my heart, by faith, and the Holy Spirit of God, he'll help you to do that. He'll help you to put you off so he can put him on. Isn't that good? Amen. 2 Corinthians 7. I remember talking to the brother about this way back in the day. Verse number 1. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's why I said earlier, Holy Spirit of God, He does His part, but you do your part because He gave you the power. Now you need to do that. Isn't that wild? You need to cleanse yourself from that filth that's in there and that stuff that's in your mind and your conscience, right? Your thought process. You need to get rid of the thing that is causing you to do that. You can do it. So again, yield to God, submit myself in my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And now, if there obviously the things that perhaps may be stumbling me or people or whatever the case might be, you need to remove yourself from those things or get those things out of your life, and God will help you to get the victory over that. Again, your responsibility. Do you see there? All the remaining verses, I don't have time, but I'll just quote them for you. Galatians 6, 9. Ephesians 4, 22 through 32. Philippians 2, 3. Colossians 3, 15 through 16. I'm just saying these slowly. Perhaps you can go back and take notes. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 8. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Those are a lot of great verses that will help you to understand how you can live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and be led of the Spirit to give you the understanding of what you're responsible to do. But before we close, let me show you why you can, okay? Because don't give in to the lies that you can't. And don't let the devil keep putting it in your mind and in your heart, look how imperfect you are because you keep falling maybe on a daily basis. It's not about how many times you fall. It's how quick you get back up and keep fighting. And that's what we all need to do, amen? Let me leave you with these last verses on who can help you with that. Let's go to James chapter 1 together now. James chapter 1. And we're just ending with some application on having a temperate lifestyle. Because according to God, the Holy Ghost is in me. I'm in Christ. And He has the power to help me to have power over this flesh. That's what we learned tonight. And if I yield myself to Him, obey Him, putting me off, putting Him on, I can do that. I can have victory over those things that I'm fighting with. Let's look together now to remind you in love before you go, who can help you? Well, that's none other than God, of course. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and toss. Brother and sister, the only way that you're going to overcome that thing in your life is if you're sincere. If you're not going to God and you're not surrendering that thing in your life to help you to be a better Christian, a more temperate, controlling of the body believer, don't expect to have the victory over that sin within your life, because we can't fool God. He knows the hearts. We already talked about that. He knows deep down inside if Brother Carlos is sincere or not. No wonder it took me a long time to give her just one thing when I could have gone over probably way quicker if my heart was sincere. That's why I tell people that Christians can grow a lot faster than other Christians when their heart is sincere, when their heart is desiring to really seek God in faith to overcome it. And I'm going to show you before we close one man who did a long time ago. Ephesians 4. When you ask God for wisdom concerning that thing within your life that you need help controlling within your body, it's going to be Jesus Christ. Look at here in Ephesians 4. The Bible says, just reminding us in love in verse number 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So go to him. Don't be afraid of him. He's your Savior. He loves you. He knows the things that you're going through. But you need to go to him and be open and sincere and say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you for wisdom to help me to get a control over my body in this thing that it wants to do. And when he sees the sincerity of your heart, the sincerity of your faith, he will give you the help over it. You can also read Hebrews 2:18 concerning Jesus Christ being ready to help you. And as we're coming to a close, let's go to Genesis chapter 20. All the way back there to the beginning of the Bible. I'm going to give credit where credit is due, and I learned this lesson a long time ago in Bible school. powerful lesson that I learned from Brother James here concerning a man who was going to sin against God. He was going to sin against another man by having relations with his wife. But the man didn't know any better. He had a heart that was really sincere before God. And because God saw that, God responded by giving him the ability to not do what he was about to do. And this, my friend, is the lesson for the flesh and the spirit. The only way that you're going to have victory over sin is when you prove to God within your heart, Lord, I am sincerely done with this. I don't want to do this no more. I need you to take over now. That's it. And when he sees from heaven that heart of faith, he will help you to walk in the spirit, be led of the spirit, and to live in the spirit so that way you don't do it. Watch this. Let's start from verse 1. Old story, just for the spiritual lesson, this powerful. Bible says, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. So I know we're talking about a fellow who lived a long time ago, Abraham. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So remember the story, guys. Abraham, he lied. He lied about his wife, that she wasn't his wife, and he didn't want to die because she was still fairly good-looking, even back in those days, for an older woman. So this fellow, Abimelech, king of Gerar, hey, go get that woman, man. I want her. That's what happened. Verse number 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. You see, God revealed the truth. The woman that you have, King Abimelech, that is a man's wife. If you do anything to her, you will die. Point blank, okay? But what about the sincerity of the man's heart? Did he know that? No, he didn't. Watch this. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord. So do you see the submission there? Lord, in other words, you're God. I know you're God. I'm a man. I am going to humble myself under your word. I'm going to submit myself to you right now. That's going to be the first step for the victory over sin in your life. That's free, by the way. Okay, here we go. Lord, wilt thou slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Before the Calvinists and all those other guys start arguing with us, but no one's good, no, not one. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody's just evil and wicked and reprobate. Mm-mm. When God is having a conversation with this man, God did not correct what he just said. He knew that he was innocent. He knew that his heart was in the right place. As a matter of fact, God didn't rebuke him. Look at verse number 6. God said unto him in a dream, yea. Woo! Isn't that wild? Yes, you're right. I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. How do I get victory over sin, Brother Carlos? When you show God the integrity of your heart. When you say, God, I don't want to do this no more. Lord, I'm tired of this thing in my life that's destroying my life. I'm tired of this thing that I'm holding on to that is hindering my ability to get along with people, my ability to love my wife, my husband, my children, whatever that might be for you. And I'm not pointing fingers. You guys already know. I'm just speaking in generalities. Perhaps somebody here tonight may be going through a thing. Perhaps some of you guys are good. Let me just tell you, we can learn a great lesson from a man thousands of years ago who submitted to God. He responded to his word in faith. And God, seeing the sincerity in this man's heart, he's just a little independent little human creature, man, just on this earth. You know, nobody special. You're right. I saw that. But because I saw your sincerity, I withheld you from sinning against me. So then, brother, how do we walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, live in the Spirit so we don't give in to the lust of our flesh? When you walk with a heart of integrity before God, and when God sees the sincerity within your life that you don't want to do that anymore, That's when he will give you the power to not do that anymore. That's why I tell you, brother and sister, you want to grow in your faith with God a lot faster than others? Keep showing God how sincere you are and look at how he will respond within your life to give you victory over sin, victory over your flesh, victory over your pride, whatever the case might be for you. I know for me what it was. And as I surrendered my heart to the Lord, I said, man, God, all right, that's it. I'm done. My whole life went 360. I've changed. Here I am standing before you today. So there is availability. There is victory. There is the ability for us Christians to be temperate because God told us to. He told you how to do it. All you got to do is go to him. Don't let the devil get in there telling you he's not going to accept you. Obviously, be ashamed. You know, keep it to yourself. Don't talk to nobody about it. No, no. Talk to him about it because he knows. You can't lie to him. He loves you so much. He already did everything for you on the cross. Go to him and say, Lord Jesus, here it is. I'm just going to be honest with you, Lord. I may not see you right here, but I know you're real. Here's the thing. I don't want to do this no more. I want to get over this immaturity in my life, whatever that might be. And when God sees integrity in your heart, he'll say, okay, I'm going to withhold you now from that thing. Last verse, we'll close in prayer. 2 Peter 1. I've shown you guys tonight that you have the ability. I've shown you guys tonight that you have been provided the power. But I've also proven to you guys tonight that it's your responsibility to be temperate, to control the lust of your flesh, to control the lust of your eyes and the pride of life that's within your body, that's within my body. Now the choice is ours. Are we going to respond in faith to the book tonight concerning these things of how to be a temperate Christian, or are we not? I'm going to leave you to answer that before God. But as we close with the last reading verse tonight, once again, I'm just going to encourage you. This is the power you have right now, believer. Don't look to your financial circumstance. Don't look to your cultural circumstance. Don't even look to your past. Don't do it. Look to him and look at what he's given you. Let's read these together before we close. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us some things. Is that what it says? What does it say there? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead we worship, the Trinity that is behind the scriptures here, they gave you everything you need to be a victorious Christian, a strong Christian. That's what the book said. So if you're excusing yourself, that's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from your flesh. If you're doubting yourself because of deceit and the hardness of hearts and maybe sadness and depression, get over it. Give it to him. Now look, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you escaped it. Galatians 5, flesh crucified with Christ, lust crucified with Christ, affections, that's what you escaped that when you became a born-again Christian. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Is that a responsibility? Yes. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, oh, look at here, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. I got to work on that. That's what the Bible tells me. I got a problem with brothers and sisters. I have to add to my faith that. Brotherly kindness, charity. Four, if these things be in you and abound, watch this now, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight you learn, you have the power. You have the ability. You've been provided everything you need in order to have a temperate, controlled, spiritual lifestyle, to have power over this flesh. But now you know that you're responsible for the power that you've been given. Now you know it's between you and God, and you demonstrating to God, you proving to him, Lord, I am sincere. Here's the integrity of my heart from God. That's when he'll respond to you. Okay, son. Okay, daughter. I'm going to supernaturally exercise my power to withhold you from sinning against me. And then lastly, you know you have been made a partaker of the divine nature. You can add to your faith temperance. You can do it. The question is, will you do it? I hope you do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God tonight, because it doesn't favor any one of us tonight. I'm so glad, God, that this book is, it treats us all the same at the foot of the cross. Lord God, I'm so glad that I am not perfect, but Jesus is. I am so glad, God, that I am not the standard of this church, but Jesus is. And I'm so glad, God, that no matter who we are today, no matter what we've done today, no matter where our thoughts may have been wandering, even through the preaching of the book tonight, God, I'm so thankful that even now, while I'm praying, you give us all an opportunity to come to you and ask you to forgive us of our sins. Because, Father, you look to your Son, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. And I'm thankful, Father, that you love Eileen that much, Maribel that much, Giovanni that much, Kina that much, Anna, and all those who weren't able to make it. God, I'm so thankful that you have such a love for them when they called on your Son to save them. Tonight, Father, would you help us as your children with temperance? Help us to control our body. Help us to keep this body under control. You've given us all the Bible proof tonight, God, that we have the ability to do it. You gave us the power. You gave us the provision. But you gave us the choice to yield. Lord, if there are any members here tonight, God, that are still struggling in areas, I hope tonight that they've seen from your word that you taught them, Lord, that they can come to you for help. And when they show you that heart of integrity, God, you can give them the power to stop sinning against you. Tonight, would you help deal with them and deal with me as well? Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Help us to look more like Jesus Christ tonight, God. Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in all the members of our church. For those who weren't able to attend tonight, please be with them. Help them to rewatch this lesson and help our members to continue to take notes and to learn, God, so their lives can continue to be a blessing to you and to each other. Lord, I love you. Thank you. I pray that you get us home safely. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless y'all. If you have any questions, comments, fellowship, y'all already know. Hang out a little bit. Amen. Have a safe night, y'all. The Lord bless.